Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. We're here to bring you the latest and greatest Nintendo news of the week. We do have some non-Nintendo news this week, but I am your host, Sean Hayes, and wow, we got a rather great Nintendo Direct today, or yesterday, for those of you listening to the audio version. So that is going to be our deep dive this week. Thankfully that dropped, because otherwise it was a fairly light news week. we do have a couple little news topics. But holy moly, this Nintendo Direct, I swear it was, that the only thing we didn't get was no new information on, Breath of the Wild 2, and still no Switch Pro. So outside, it seems like they had everything else there for us. So, hope everyone's doing well. Hope you are, staying warm and toasty, out there, during this, winter time. Although we do have a bit of a heat wave going on. So, that's nice. If you're in New England, I mean, if you're elsewhere, I don't know what you got going on. So, I'm playing a lot more of Pokemon Arceus. I think I'm starting to get used to the graphics. So it's not as much of an issue. Like, there's still times when, like, it's very distracting. But I don't think I'm minding it as much as when I first started playing the game. I don't know why the Gastlys in that game look like N64 models. It's weird. It's very, like, for whatever reason, they couldn't just make them orbs. They like, there are polygons to them, like visible polygons. And it looks a bit weird. Like they came out of, like Super Mario 64. Very, very odd. But, all right. Why don't we get right into the news? I really want to talk about this Nintendo Direct. So we'll cover our news topics really quick. Oh, we only got three of them. All right, first up, our first piece of news is Nintendo news, but the Nintendo Switch, after shipping 10.67 million units in quarter four 2021, the Nintendo Switch has now outsold the Nintendo Wii with 103.54 million lifetime unit sales. This is a big deal, folks. The Wii was considered a runaway success for Nintendo. Now, there's all sorts of caveats that people have been throwing out, like, oh, well, that's because it doesn't have any competition from handhelds. So, you know, you really have to look at, like, the handheld market plus that. Blah, 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 blah. 103 units is still a monster number. And I think, part of that points to... Nintendo made a smart decision to consolidate their user base and not, you know, separate it out through two different platforms. I think it was, I'm not going to look at the sales numbers, the idea would be to look up what the sales numbers were in the first 5 years of the DS and then the first 5 years of the Wii and then add those, compare the two. I also don't know if it's comparable, because, I mean, there were some people that, you know, had a DS, didn't bother getting a Wii. So I think it's comparing apples to oranges by doing that. Still, this is an outrageous number. This means that it sold roughly five times the number of Wii U's. Okay. So that's to put that, like, for every Wii U that was sold, more than five Switches sold. So that puts it into context. That is a big number. And I believe it's outsold the PS1. I think, obviously not PlayStation 2, because PlayStation 2 is a weird metric there. And again, you know, I think that's also comparing apples to oranges, right? Because, you know, the PlayStation 2 had the thing where people were buying it as a DVD player. So I don't know. All I can say is, man, 100, you know, basically 104 million units. That is a success. So, here is to the Nintendo Switch, and hopefully, you know, I would love to see them do an update as opposed to release a brand new console, you know, but you know, again, no Switch Pro news at all. So I don't know what's going on with that. You know, we may never see a Switch Pro, and they may just move on to whatever the next console is going to be. Although they seem to not have any trouble moving these current units. So I don't know. I think maybe, you know, Nintendo gets plenty of third party support, but not necessarily like the same kind of support that, you know, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X are getting, you know, and it's maybe even AAA developers, like Square are focusing more on smaller properties, to release there. So yeah. Yeah. All right. Next up, Warcraft. So again, No gloom and doom dire news coming out of Activision Blizzard this week. This is, so according to a quarterly earnings call with investors, Blizzard announced that it will be working on new mobile Warcraft content to be released in 2022. Now, a lot of people are running away with the idea that, it means, you know, that there could be some sort of, you know, Warcraft mobile game. And maybe, I mean, maybe it's just porting Warcraft orcs and humans to mobile. You know, maybe it's doing some kind of Warcraft branded, I don't know, Clash of Clans type thing. Considering that it's new mobile Warcraft content was how it was billed, this could simply be a revamped Armory app that has other functions in it. So I'm, you know, I think, you know, this has been said before, on podcasts like The Instance. I think pet battles, would kind of be the no brainer, for doing a mobile app. You know, since that ties into part of the casual gameplay in World of Warcraft, you know, and the interface is relatively easy. So like there's not a whole lot to it. So like if you were going to do it, you could probably tie that into a mobile app. They did specify Warcraft and not World of Warcraft. So yeah, I think it might be, they might be going the way of like Square and maybe re-releasing some of their older stuff, onto mobile, but we'll see. But there's been much to do about it. You know, people have been like, oh, is World of Warcraft coming to mobile? No, they're not porting World of Warcraft to mobile devices. I mean, if they do, shocked. And especially if they do it this year, totally shocked. Considering it's not on consoles, and that would make more sense than putting it on phones. So yeah, we'll have to see what's coming. Since again, like they're not doing BlizzCon, so there's not going to be a big announcement for it. Weirdly enough, that's coming before Diablo Immortal because that's still not out. So, oh boy. I'm sure that's a thing. All right. Next up. Google Stadia. Google Stadia. Google Stadia's cloud gaming platform has been internally demoted again. And now its primary focus is no longer being like a gaming platform that you buy games from and you play games on, but also pay a subscription to, but is now for providing a white label platform service for other gaming and software companies. So like providing like a either cloud gaming architecture or whatever for companies like Capcom, Bungie, Peloton, you know? I don't think this surprises anybody, considering that Google, you know, if it's not related to search or advertising, can't, you know, or Gmail, can't seem to stay interested long enough to actually put in the effort to build out a product. That sounds like shots fired. It is, because Google has a track record of they release a product. It sounds cool. They build it out so that it's like barely functional, and then they drop it after a few years. You know, like just when it starts to get really good, they suddenly stop dropping it because it didn't essentially get the market share that they wanted it to. I mean, Stadia was kind of doomed from the get-go because you were going to pay a subscription, but then you also had to buy the games. But because they were entirely digital, you didn't have access to a physical copy. And that, like, it also didn't sit in, like, your library. Like, you couldn't play the games offline, if I recall correctly. So, yeah. Everybody's like, what's the point? Like, why would I buy it here and not on Steam? Or on a console? Or buy a physical copy of the game? So yeah. But you know, now acting as sort of a behind the scenes architecture and then licensing it out, you know, that's Google's kind of taking a page out of Microsoft's playbook for that one. I don't think we're going to see Stadia sort of rise to the forefront like they thought it would years ago, of like a big rival to Microsoft, Sony and Nintendo. So sorry to the folks that were really excited about that. But hey, now, it provides architecture for Capcom to allow you to stream games, I guess. So there's that. It's hard for living in an area where there are people that do not have stable internet still in 2022. Hard to get excited about a service that requires you to stream everything in order to do anything on the platform. So that's that. And that's it. That's the news for this week. As I said, you know, I got a couple news items. There didn't seem to be really anything super interesting. Aside from that, you know, a lot of the other stuff was just editorial pieces that weren't actually news. Looking at you, Kotaku. That's also shots fired. But I also wanted to keep a lot of the podcast time set aside for this direct. There's a lot to cover here. So, and normally, like, I will skip over some things that are, like, you know, little projects that they don't really talk about and they put in like a highlight reel, and we just like give the release date or whatever, but there's a lot where they actually like talked about it in depth. So yeah, I wanted the extra time. So why don't we get into that now? All right. So, for those that are watching live, we had a Nintendo Direct today at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And there's quite a bit. There is quite a bit here. These are all titles that are releasing in 2022, the vast majority of which by summer, like by end of summer. I think the latest one is September. So I was going to be fancy and like try and list these all in, chronological order of release date. You know what? We can still do that. I have stuff marked out, and we'll try and do it approximately by chronological order of release date. So there's a bunch of stuff today. Standout on the list, more so for the developer than the game itself, Getsu Fumaden, Undying Moon, releases today, in that it's by Konami. Konami, famed game developer that doesn't actually make games anymore, actually is putting out a game. Look at very heavy Castlevania, vibes, in aesthetic, but looks like a general, like, action adventure type game. Also, a new demo for Triangle Strategy. Once again, Square Enix rocking out with the terrible, terrible game names. I think that releases in March. But there's another demo today. And that, the save data from the demo will carry over into the retail game. New modes for Metroid Dread, Dread Mode and Rookie Mode. Rookie Mode is, it makes it a little easier, more recovery. Dread Mode is one hit kill. So if you are, if you hate your life, there you go. Any hit, doesn't matter. Like, essentially, it just makes it superfluous for collecting any energy tanks, because even the anything that would deal 1 point of damage kills you. So, I don't care about that. I played Metroid Dread. I think it's a good game. I didn't enjoy it. Earthbound and Earthbound Beginnings are coming today to Nintendo Switch Online. So Earthbound, beloved, quirky RPG for the Super NES. Earthbound Beginnings for the NES. And I don't know if that's like an initial version or a prequel or something. I'm not super familiar with Earthbound myself, so I'm not sure what that Beginnings one is. Now, let's see. So that covers all the stuff that's coming today. Let's see. Anything in February? We got that. Kingdom Hearts Integrum Masterpiece Cloud Collection, or whatever. Again, Square with the... Square in your naming conventions. We saw that at E3, I believe. Or... maybe it was the last Smash Direct. No, it was the last Smash announcement when they announced Sora. Is a full Kingdom Hearts collection that will be available. It's only available through cloud streaming. But you'll have access to, I think, all of the, essentially, the PlayStation games. 1, 2, 3, and then there's like one other sort of in-between game that's included in there. So that is, if you're watching live tomorrow, and if you're listening to the audio version today, Assassin's Creed Ezio Collection on February 17th. So this will include basically all of the Assassin's Creed games that feature Ezio. There will be... so people have been asking for Mario Kart 8 DLC. Like, why don't they just do Mario Kart 8 DLC? Like, there hasn't been anything done with Mario Kart 8 since the launch. Which is even funnier considering it was a Wii U game. Starting on March 18th, there is going to be essentially a DLC pack. For $25, it comes in 6 waves. And there are 8 tracks, 8 race tracks per wave, and those will be released through the end of 2023. So for a total of 48 more race tracks available in the game. So, you know, I would say that's not a bad value. It gets even better because it's going to be included in the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack. So if you're like me and you have the expansion pack, you pay nothing. Because it's already included in your subscription. So, yeah, that's super cool. Taking stuff from everything going back to Super Mario Kart to Mario Kart Tour. So, yeah, excited about that. More Mario Kart tracks. Kirby and the Forgotten Land. They showed more footage of that. That releases on March 25th. They showed basically they're now like abilities that Kirby can get by copying enemies like you can normally do, right? So like Kirby swallows, you know, like a fire enemy and he gets the fire ability. There are now mouthful mode abilities where it's for things that are just big enough that Kirby can't like swallow them. So he wraps him, essentially wraps himself around it and becomes that object. And these are things like a car, a vending machine, essentially a giant water balloon. And these essentially give him like, functionally, mechanics wise, it doesn't seem any different from just, you know, swallowing an enemy and getting a power. But these seem to be more niche, abilities for like solving a particular puzzle as opposed to general gameplay type stuff. You know, there's like a scissor lift, like very weird stuff that are used for like environmental things. I think I would have preferred to just, you know, like the car could have been wheel, water could have been a specific water ability, you know, scissor lift kind of, you know, tornado in the past kind of used the same gameplay. A vending machine is just like you spit cans at enemies. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of copy abilities that can do that. I don't know if it's just they are thinking of Mario Odyssey and are like, oh, we should recreate the success of that by doing the same thing. But Kirbifying it. I don't know. The plot of the game is Waddle Dees have been kidnapped. And so you are going around rescuing Waddle Dees to rebuild Waddle Dee Town. And part of that will include like a weapon shop where you can upgrade and evolve your copy abilities. So like fire becomes volcano fire, which can later become dragon fire. You know, sword can become a gigantosword and things like that. So I think that's a neat evolution for Kirby. Because typically, you know, it was you got a copy ability and, like, some were just better than others. And it was all dependent on, like, what enemies you got. If you sucked up two different enemies that had copy abilities, it would give you a randomized one. Yeah, ultimately, I think I'm excited for this. You know, I love sort of tech systems and unlockable systems, right, where you're building up something. And so the idea of, like, as you rescue more Waddle Dees, like, you build up the town, which will unlock shops, which you can use the shops to upgrade your abilities and stuff. That's my jam. So, yeah. Let's see. All right, next up is, I think, April. Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp is coming April 8th. They showed there is going to be voice acting that's been added to the game. You know, aside from, like, I think I miss the sprite-based sort of little cutscenes when your foes are facing off against each other. But otherwise, a lot of the game looks really great. So excited about that. Star Wars Force Unleashed is coming April 20th. MLB The Show 2022 is coming April 5th. A boss rush mode for Metroid Dread is coming in April. Zombie Army 4 Dead War is coming April 26th. And then two sort of surprise announcements. Chrono Cross Radical Dreamers, Chrono Cross HD Remake, essentially, coming April 7th. I don't know if that's also, I would imagine that is probably coming to other platforms as well. But that's exciting. Still kind of weird that we got Chrono Cross and Saga Frontier before we got Chrono Trigger on the Switch. Don't know what that's all about, Square Enix. Wait, unless we do. Do we have Chrono Trigger on the Switch? Oh, jeez, I don't even know. But, like, it seems weird. Like, I don't think we do. Unless it's, like, a standalone remake type thing. But, like, yeah, it seems weird. If we don't, it would seem very weird that we have Legend of Mana, Saga Frontier, and Chrono Cross, and not Chrono Trigger. Yeah, that'll be exciting. And with some, you know, typical quality of life adjustments that Square has been putting in its remakes of its classic RPGs. So things like turning off random encounters, things like that, you know, little things, which is nice. And then Nintendo Switch Sports. So this is essentially an evolution of Wii Sports coming to Nintendo Switch. I'm shocked that it's been this long and they didn't think to do that. Like, I think they were hoping that, like, 1-2 Switch was going to be that, and then it just kind of fell flat. I don't think it's being developed by Nintendo, and I don't know if it's the same developers as Wii Sports. Because I think Wii Sports was developed in-house by Nintendo. Yeah. So Nintendo Switch Sports developer is... Why is nobody talking about who developed it? Anyway, so it's going to launch with six sports, bowling, tennis. I don't remember the name, but it's swords, volleyball, badminton, and jeez, what's the last one? And soccer. Soccer's the third one. There we go. Of the three new ones. So, okay, so to recap, we're gonna get bowling, we're gonna get badminton and tennis. I think that's a problem. We're gonna get volleyball, we're gonna get swords and soccer. Golf is coming in the fall. So I think it's a little bit of a misstep to put both badminton and tennis. I think ultimately putting, like, if they had done boxing, baseball, golf, you know, one of the other big ones that was in Wii Sports from the get-go, you know, I think it would have been better, but it will also be a free update. So that's key. You know, and I think if they continue to release more sports, that's going to be a really great package. Now, obviously, part of the charm of Wii Sports was, you know, the motion controls and how well the motion controls worked. These are going to use motion controls. So, you know, we'll have to see, because, I mean, the Joy-Cons can do motion controls, and they do motion controls fairly well. But I think it's just going to be how well the motion controls are mapped for this game. And to determine how successful it's going to be. And, you know, I think the music is also going to be a big factor, because, like, it kind of sounded similar, but I wish that they would have just gone ahead and just, like, reused the theme. Like, if you're going to develop this game for Nintendo, like, license out the Wii Sports theme from Nintendo and just reuse it, and, you know, maybe, or maybe do a remix of it, sort of a thing. But it was a little, it kind of fell into a little uncanny valley during the presentation. But yeah, that is coming April 29th. 2 Point Campus is coming May 15th. That is the only May release given. And then we've got a bunch of stuff coming in June. So, let's see. Demon Slayer Hinokami Chronicles is coming June 10th. Lego Brawls, which is a Smash-style Lego fighting game. like there's mounts in the game, so, like, there's a knight on horseback, but, you know, because it's Lego, like, the horse's legs don't move. It just, like, you know, trots across the screen, like, you know, with a very blocky animation. That's coming at some point in June. Let's see. Cuphead, the Delicious Last Course, is coming at the end of June on June 30th. So we're going to get Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, which is a Three Houses version of Fire Emblem Warriors. So if you really liked previous Fire Emblem Warriors games, which is Dynasty Warriors, but Fire Emblem, you know, this might be right up your alley. And it's also focusing on Three Houses. So the trailers heavily featured, you've got Byleth, you've got Edelgard, you've got Dimitri, and you've got Claude. It looks like Sothis has some play in there. But also it looked like there were some new villains, as well. And there is sort of that interplay between the three houses trying to jockey for power and what's going on. And, so yeah, hopefully it runs better than Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, because, that game still suffers from frame rate issues. And I would love to see them avoid that with Fire Emblem. And then, totally out of the blue. Oh, so that's coming on, June 24th, totally out of the blue. On June 10th, we're going to get Mario Strikers Battle League. Everybody's been hoping for Mario Strikers. Mario Strikers was a great game. And then it's just, there's been nothing. So it's coming back. Not only is it coming back, it's going to have, essentially, clubs. So you can form a club with your friends, play online as a club, and do, like, online rankings with that. There's going to be, equipment that you equip to your character to help boost your various stats, which, you know, like, power and speed, shot accuracy, technique, and sort of super moves are going to come back. And it's just a very, like, much more aggressive type of game. So if you're looking for, like FIFA, like realistic soccer, no, this is very much like an arcade style soccer game with, like, weird effects and items getting thrown out onto the field and all that stuff. I fondly remember playing Mario Strikers. And this will support 8-player co-op on a single Nintendo Switch system. I'd imagine how they're doing that is everybody would get a Joy-Con, as opposed, you know, or maybe you can do 8 separate, pro controllers, because I think Smash you can do 8 players, but, so it would be matches for 4-on-4, but yeah, very exciting for the ability to just create, like, a guild, or clan, or whatever you want to call it. But in this case, they call them clubs because it's soccer. So that you can then, like, do matches with your friends and queue with your friends to do online stuff. So that is very exciting. Completely out of the blue. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. All right, for July, Klonoa Fantasy Reverie Series. So these are remasters of Klonoa 1 and 2. These are coming on July 8th. And on July 22nd, Live Alive, which I had never heard of this before. I thought for a moment that we were gonna, I thought for a moment that it was Chrono Trigger. And so it's kind of in that vein. And I don't know who made it. I don't know if it was another Square Enix. So it's another Squaresoft one. Of course, it's got to be. It had that look. Super NES. So Super NES RPG must have been Square. It's each of the characters like is from a different period in time. So there's like a little bit of that with Chrono Trigger, but like each character also has their own distinct story, which is very similar to like Saga Frontier. So there's one in which like you like it's prehistoric times. Or it's, how did they describe it? Not ancient China, but, like early China. And then there's like Edo period in Japan. There's modern era, near modern era, which is a little cyberpunk. And then like, or near future, sorry, which is like cyberpunk. And then like far future, which is everybody's in space and it's like Star Wars. And then a bunch of other characters that are like flung throughout history. This has never been released outside of Japan. So this is kind of a big deal. I'm willing to give it a shot. You know, it's a Squaresoft RPG from the Super NES era. Now getting a remastered release. Sure. I'll take it. Absolutely. The real question is, does it have fishing? And I don't think it does. I think fishing is still a relatively new addition for a lot of RPGs. Of course, I say that, and like a bunch of the RPGs that I want to look at are from that time period. I think that's it for July proper. Nothing for August. Now, that said, there are a bunch that are just labeled as summer. So this includes Disney Speedstorm, which will have cross-platform. There was another game that's cross. MLB The Show 22 is also cross-platform and cross-save. I think that's a big selling point. Because that means, like, if you're like, oh, why would I buy it on Switch? I have it on, like, PS5. Now, you can take your save data from that and apply it to your Switch and take it on the go. And I think that's where the Switch really shines, is when there's like cross save or cross play functionality is allowing you to then like not have to start over, but be able to like when you're home and you have like a different system in the same game for that different system, that's like more powerful, whether it's an Xbox or a PS5 or if it's on PC, you know, play it there. But then when you travel, like you can then take it with you and then play that same save file and you don't have to, you know, start a completely different save file. Because I think like Witcher 3 did it, you know, and that was fun. And yet Skyrim doesn't. Let's see. Oh, sorry. Disney Speedstorm. Front Mission 1 and 2. So these are tactical RPG mech games. So for all the sort of Mech Warrior Gundam fans in the chat, this will be right up your alley. These are remasters, I believe. I think these were previous releases. So Front Mission 1 remastered is coming this summer. Front Mission 2 is just labeled as sometime in the future. And then No Man's Sky is coming to Switch, folks. I didn't think that was something that would ever happen. You know, every now and again, I've been like, oh, should I check this game out? Now that it seems to be good, since it had that very controversial launch. But yeah, you know, this is one where I may wait. Like, I don't know if I could recommend anybody getting it at launch. I think you might want to see what the performance is like before getting it on Switch. I do have concerns that it might not run well. But we'll see. You know, maybe they're really good at optimization and they figured stuff out on how to make it work. So yeah, that was kind of out of the blue. All right. Let's see. We have just 2022 at some point. Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythm Festival. It is a sort of taiko drumming rhythm game. This will have also a bunch of like video game tracks in it. You know, including Legend of Zelda and Megalovania, as well as the Portal Companion Collection. So Portal coming to Switch at some point in 2022. And then the big one is in September. Totally unannounced, and probably why Monolith has not been available. And it might be why Breath of the Wild 2 is still kind of wherever it is. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, folks. I cannot tell you how hyped I am for this. This looks like... I don't know what to think. It's got elements from Xenoblade 1 and Xenoblade 2. We've got Hyentia. We've got cat people. We've got Nupun. You know, we've got Homs. There's what looks like a giant Bionis with a Makana sword stabbed through it. There are all sorts of what look like Mechon, but they're actual mechs being driven around by people. It is great. And also a lot of flute playing. I don't know what that's about, but it's supposed to tie both games together. Or it's supposed to be like a continuation of both games. So I don't know what that's about. So spoilers for anybody that hasn't played through Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which it's been like 5 years, folks. Okay. Gave you fair warning. It turns out, so Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is like that world is, and the world of Xenoblade Chronicles 1 are like alternate dimensions of each other. And it was created when essentially the guy that like created the stuff in one, like his consciousness, his soul or whatever, like split in half, and each half ended up in each world. So it's, you know, you get kind of like a light world, dark world concept, where like his better half ended up in two and his darker half ended up in one. And he is, like the spirit of the Bionis in one. But like, so, at the end of two, like there is like a vision that opens up and you hear like Shulk and Co doing their stuff in their final fight. And it's really cool. And at a certain point in the deal, like you can actually pull in Shulk and Fiora as blades, in like a DLC pack or something. But supposedly this is gonna, I don't know if it's supposed to tie the two together or just be a direct link to the two of them. I don't know if it's maybe they both mesh together and now you've got this composite world and that you're trying to figure things out. I love Xenoblade so much. My only hope is that they don't do the silly gacha mechanic that they did in 2 with the blades, because like the whole point of gacha is a monetization strategy for mobile games. And you typically do it with a free-to-play game, so that way it's a way to get people to spend money. It does not make any sense to do it like with in-game currency for a single-player game. Like, that does not make any sense whatsoever. Like, it would have made more sense if it was like in a like Genshin does, where it's again a monetization strategy to get you spend money. Like, that would have at least made more sense, but I think that would have been a terrible decision. And it would have been an awful and a very anti-consumer decision. So I hope that they don't do anything like that. And I hope, like, that there is, that there will be interesting combat without being too overly, without being overly complicated. You know, 2's combat system starts to borderline on the absurd. You know, whereas 1's kind of devolves into, like, you know, break, topple, and then just chain topple, or things like that. So something between the two, or often in 1, you have periods where, like, all of your abilities on cooldown, and so you're just auto-attacking. And that's not, it's not very interesting. Yeah, I can't believe that, like, Nintendo, there's so many things on this list that they just haven't talked about. And, you know, like, we're in 2022, and we didn't have any, we didn't know what was coming in 2022. Like, so I don't know. The other thought is if they're already announcing a lot of this stuff, what are we going to see at E3? You know, Nintendo's E3 Direct presentation this year, because, you know, we'll likely see more stuff for Fire Emblem Warriors. Mario Strikers might be out by that point. My guess is they'll probably talk about Cuphead. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, I can guarantee, will be talked more about at E3 this year. You know, and maybe a couple of the other things. But, like, the vast majority of these are coming out, you know, by the end of April or by the end of June. So this is all within, like, most of it is within the next 4 months. And so, like, you know, if it was going to be a lot of, like, lesser titles and stuff, you know, I mean, not a strong lineup. I mean, you know, Fire Emblem Warriors, Advance Wars, No Man's Sky, Mario Strikers. I forgot to mention Splatoon 3. Splatoon 3 is coming out this summer, and they showed a trailer for the Salmon Run mode. You know, Splatoon 3 is coming. You know, I think for Assassin's Creed fans, the Ezio collection is going to be big. You know, Chrono Cross, Kirby, Kingdom Hearts, Nintendo Switch Sports. You know, Earthbound is definitely a big thing for a lot of folks. You know, that even if it's just being released to the, you know, the online stuff. The Mario Kart 8 DLC and Xenoblade. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. The only thing that could have made this better was, like, stuff on Breath of the Wild 2. Or a surprise announcement, right? Of something Zelda-related. I think there's still people holding out hope that they would have done something more for the 35th anniversary of Zelda, but I don't know. I think we got what we got. So, yeah. Whew. Whew, that was a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, for me personally, I'm probably not going to pick up Fire Emblem Warriors. Like, I always think, like, oh yeah, I could really enjoy this game. You know, I picked up, like, multiple varieties of Hyrule Warriors, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And, like, I kind of enjoyed it when I played it, and then, like, something else would come out, and then I'd never go back to it, and, like, never feel any need to go back to it. Advance Wars, I'm definitely going to pick up. I think I'll pick up Mario Strikers. I mean, my brother and I played it quite a bit. It's a great party game. You know, Splatoon 3... I think I'm gonna pick up Chrono Cross. Just, I never played the original. And again, Square RPGs, kinda gotta have to. Classics. Kirby. Live Alive, Nintendo Switch Sports, again, probably going to be a great party game. Triangle Strategy. The Mario Kart 8 DLC, which I'll just get for free. Free-ish. And then I'm going to put, like, double stars next to Xenoblade, because, you know, I have to. I have to. It's gotten up on. I have to. Oh, just, you can't beat giant monsters and RPG, like, an open world, massive world RPG with giant monsters and ancient robots and all sorts of weird storylines that really go off the rails, like when you get into the third act. Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. So, all in all, I give two thumbs up on this direct. There is plenty to be excited about, and a lot of stuff that people have, like, been asking for. And then just, like, I don't think anybody's been thinking about, like, oh, are they going to do a Xenoblade 3? I think it would have been if they did a, like, Xenoblade Chronicles X 2 or something. That would have sent everybody into a tizzy. But yeah, I don't like X, so I'm fine with them. I'm fine with them not talking about that any further. All right. So that's it. This has gone on long enough, and I still got to get through Questlog. So that's going to wrap up, talking about the Nintendo Direct. If you have any thoughts on, like, what your favorite stuff out of the Direct was, send me an email, Sean@8-bitadventures.com. Would love to hear your thoughts on it. So, speaking of which, let's get into Questlog. All right. So, for those that are watching live, I got Banjo-Kazooie up on the screen again. Turns out, I managed to get both things done this week. I colored a comic, and I did play more Banjo-Kazooie. I managed to finish Mumbo's Mountain World 1 and got everything. And the only thing that I had to look up, because I couldn't remember, was where one of the Jinjos were. And that's because it turns out, like, I totally missed an area where you get essentially the ground stomp move. And that's what it needed. So, yeah. Camera controls are a little rough. They don't age well. But it's still super charming. You know, the music's great. I don't know if Mumbo ages very well. Gotta say. I mean, the gameplay is still pretty tight. Although aiming eggs is a little tricky. So just because you're trying to deal with, like, you know, when you're in that mode, like, third person tank controls, essentially. So, you know, it was a limitation at the time. And it's like, it's essentially, done via emulation. So, like, it's not like they did a remaster. You know, if Rare were to do a full, I think, remake of Banjo-Kazooie, I guess remaster, you know, but I think, like, updated visuals and, you know, not change any of the gameplay per se, but update it so that it just has modern controls, I'd be a day one buy if it was available for Nintendo, or on Steam. I do that too. although who knows, you know, if Game Pass continues to be, like, depending on what happens with Blizzard and Game Pass, you know, and Blizzard's act gets cleaned up, I may get Game Pass for PC and have it available there too. But yeah, So I got both goals done. Goals for next week, color one more comic, and we're play more Banjo-Kazooie to do Treasure Trove Cove. One of my favorite levels in the game. So, although I have a lot of favorite levels in that game. I mean, the music's so good. But yeah, Treasure Trove Cove. It's got a big old shark that you can't go in the water, and it like follows you around everywhere. It's great. It's great. And it's where you unlock flying too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, very excited about that. I think as an ancillary goal, play more Arceus. So a lot of the systems in that game are turning out really good. I think if Game Freak just got some help on environment design, and maybe some optimization, I think they would have a really, really great thing there. Because I mean, here's the thing: is like Skyrim's a pretty big open world, and I don't know. It's just like the models in Pokemon aren't more complex and detailed than models in Skyrim, right? And like the text, like they certainly don't have more complicated textures because, you know, everybody in Skyrim has like, there's all sorts of dirt and grime and stuff on like their armor, their faces and everything. Whereas like with Pokemon, like it's often just very flat colors, and patterns. So, again, for me, it's the when Pokemon are far away and they move at like 3 frames a second, it gets a little distracting. So like maybe that's just an optimization problem. And, you know, I guess that's why they couldn't just borrow Monolith to help them make this game, because Monolith was out there making their own game. That's going to be way better. I hate to break it to Pokemon fans. But yeah, you know, I managed to get a Turtwig. So, training my Turtwig, that's going to be the goal. Or trying to find an Alpha Torterra. That is going to be awesome if I can do that. Trying to get a whole team of alphas, or alphas and shinies. That would be great. So there we go, folks. Thank you for joining me on this journey of ramblings of a Nintendo fanboy, that is not afraid to call Nintendo out when they're not great. Let's face it, they still don't have a great social media policy for streamers and content creators and stuff that like ultimately want to create content that feeds people back into Nintendo. So. But that's a whole nother topic. If you would like to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out, the website, 8-bitadventures.com. Over there, you can find, comics, artwork, stream VODs, podcasts, and more. If you would like to help support that content, the best way to do that is to become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. You can become a patron for as little as $1 a month, and that gets you exclusive access to some patrons-only comics. It gets you early access to the 8-Bit Adventures comic, and some, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff for Dungeons & Dragons projects that I'm doing. It goes to help support everything in general, and not just Twitch. Big shout out and thank you to all of the current patrons. Thank you very much. There's also a section on the website to thank all the patrons, you know, with a big old Hall of Fame there. Opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. And if you want to hang out and chat, We do have a Discord server. The link to that will be in the show notes, as well as the Twitch chat here. So I also put all of the content out there as it comes up. So because social media algorithms are unreliable, this is the best way to get that stuff delivered directly to you as it comes out. So there we go. Thank you all for joining me, whether you're a live watcher or an audio listener. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. Hope you have a wonderful time. And as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.